All right, we got Bruce Jenkins joining us on the UMA guest line. Hopefully he's not as angry as he was yesterday. He got a day to, adjust to the fact that Marty's out of town this weekend. Nah, hey, Bruce, how's it going?
Yeah, good. You know, hey, forget Marty Lurie. I'm really warming to this now.
All right. Yeah, cool. See, I grow on you. Absolutely. And then, of course, Kevin Franzen, charming as ever.
Don't be cute there, Ryan.
I know. I get too cute sometimes. And what a burden it is to be this handsome. The offense, Bruce. Let's talk. Let's start there. Yesterday, Rich Hill pitched great yesterday, but. Yeah, man, the Giants, I mean, they specialize in the one run or no run game. I mean, that's not conducive to winning a lot of baseball games.
No, I think that's safe to say. He kind of hung a curveball to Pence and he hit it out. You know, but the Pence has been hopeless against right-handers. As Dwayne Kuiper describes it, every time tapped, he taps it to this or that infielder, and that's kind of symptomatic of what's going on. It's almost unexplainable how just hopeless they look at times. You know, we're talking about guys that have delivered a lot of great memories over the years, and whether it's the young guys or, you know, a guy like Wong, or, you know, earlier on it was Arroyo who started fast and then he fell into a malaise. It's just, it seems to be contagious, and, you know, when you're not winning, you lose that belief. And when you look at the Dodgers, you see an absolute 180 degree turn in terms of confidence, production, and, you know, led by two guys in the early 20s, Seager and Bellinger, just, you know, not just hitting home runs, but just crushing the ball, driving in runs, and it's a little disturbing.
Yeah, you're right about that. By the way, we're looking through the window of baseball. We do it for Truitt and White, the professional builder's choice, and Marvin Windows and Doors. Of course, Marty's biweekly conversation with Bruce Jenkins. Yeah, I mean, the Dodgers, that shelf is stocked up and ready to roll, and they also appear with this cast of characters that they have well suited to compete in the ever-changing landscape of Major League Baseball. I mean, they just got power up and down that lineup. I thought Ty Block, though, the best way to describe Block and his performance yesterday, scrappy, man, and that's who this guy is. What'd you see from Ty Block yesterday?
Yeah. Once again, another, you know, he's clever. He pitches. He's not a thrower. He's a pitcher. He works the spots. He changes speeds. He gets guys off balance. All the things that you like to see. And I think he's really setting himself up to get in that rotation next year. And if he does, you know, along with Bumgarner, and if they can keep Cueto and Samardzija, maybe Petey comes back. I think the rotation will be okay. I don't think it's going to be a big concern. Obviously, the hitting very well might be, but. Yeah, Block, I like watching Block. He's the old, you know, the crafty left-hander, as they say.
A chip off the old Block? Okay, I'm done. Go ahead, Frank.
Yeah.
Well, Bruce, I mean, if they don't get rid of Cueto and Samardzija or either or in this trade deadline, they go in the offseason, they have Bumgarner, they have Block, they have Cueto, they have Samardzija. I mean, that's actually one less question that they could have in the offseason where they can address the offense.
It's definitely one less question. I think when you're talking about the Giants, even now, with the offense not measuring up to all these great teams around the game, I still think if you're the Giants, that rotation has to be at a premium. And it looks like it very well might be. I don't think there's going to be I think that it's going to be a deep and solid rotation. And you know, the bullpen, too, I think it's got some promise when you think about Melanson and Will Smith coming back, you know, and Dyson, you know, a real different look from what we've seen most of the season. That's got some promise, too, so. You know, that's gonna keep him in games. Yeah. You know, we've seen, you know, this year it's been with Bumgarner's gone, Kane is not the same guy, this and that, and the rotation hasn't been that great, and that's been killing him. But I really think there's a lot of promise there.
But the crazy thing to think, like if you go back to the Cubs last year, I mean, even the Yankees when they had Chapman, Betances, and Miller, and then you have the Indians that have this incredible late bullpen, the Dodgers have it now. And the Giants are leading Major League starters in innings. I mean, are we seeing this trend where they're going to have to start thinking about getting that swing guy, get him going into that, you know, be that Andrew Miller type? It's hard to find, but you got to find someone just like that.
Well, yeah, I mean, if they're three deep in relievers that you can trust, or maybe even four deep, they can get into this modern-day trend where starters are only going five or six innings, and then you turn it over. I really think deep down, Bochy, Rigetti, and Brian Sabian, it's a little bit old school, but I think they still believe in it. Starters taking into the seventh or the eighth. And I'm kind of that way, too. That's just how I've been watching baseball my whole life. You know, I just don't like that going out of style.
I was going to ask you that same question. I mean, do you like where the game has gone? I mean, offensively or even pitching wise, because to me, I love when a pitcher can go seven, when he can close out his own game. I love that. And we're like yesterday, Rich Hill's dominating and he gets taken out with 90 pitches.
Yeah, that's ridiculous. I mean, the 100 pitch thing is so arbitrary and so stupid. But I love the mound visit with Bumgarner or Kershaw or Scherzer.
Yeah.
And he's out there going, no way, no friggin' way. Okay, get back to the dugout.
Yeah, get out of here.
And a lot of times, they get their wish. And the complete game to me is one of the great things. I mean, it saves the bullpen. It jacks up the crowd. It jacks up the clubhouse. Jacks the guy up in question. It's a great, great thing. We still see it. It's never going to go out of style. But the new trends are a little disturbing. But the game changes. I really don't think in 10 years everybody in the game is going to be swinging from the heels like Josh Donaldson.
Say no to ground balls.
It's not going to happen. I was thinking, with the Hall of Fame, just looking at the career of Henry Aaron. I've followed Henry Aaron when I was a little kid, like religiously, and he had the most beautiful, pure swing you've ever seen. And with getting the backspin on the balls, that he hit really good. Well, he hit 755 homers with the most pure swing you've ever seen.
Yeah, that's awesome.
I wish guys would study that. There's a lot to be learned there. Or just a guy like Daniel Murphy on the Nationals. He's hit a bunch of homers, but he's also hitting up in the high 300s. You can't get the guy out. Wherever you pitch him, he's like a magician up there. And he's not trying to go deep on every pitch. And he's a real treat.
Well, it's fun to watch someone like a Daniel Murphy in my mind because he waits for that pitch. He will take a pitch the other way with two strikes. But for the most part, he knows his zone. He knows exactly where it's go time. And he'll take advantage of that. But until then, he's patient on that. And going on Henry Aaron, a guy that I think should be a first ballot Hall of Famer, gets his 3,000th hit today. I mean, he's got over 450 homers in his career. Adrian Beltre, I want to get your take on him and just the accomplishment that he just had in that 3,000th hit that he got today.
Yeah, unbelievable. Going way back when he was with the Dodgers, everybody knew he had a lot of talent. He was kind of raw. They wondered if he was going to be a great defensive player, which he turned out to be. And the guy seems to be getting better.
Yeah. the second half numbers in his career are better than the first half, Bruce.
Yeah, and he's got the great follow-through where he winds up on one knee when he goes deep on the low end.
Beautiful. It's beautiful. We just saw a highlight of it in here.
Bruce, I've tried it, and it's usually on a strikeout.
Yeah, I saw Andrelton Simmons did it the other night. And he almost keeled over. But Beltre is a real beauty, and he's a character. You can't touch his head, and they have a lot of fun in the dugout with him. He's everything you want in a Hall of Famer. I'd be shocked if he doesn't go in like right away.
Yeah, third baseman in Major League history to hit the 3,000 hit plateau, joining a couple of guys named Wade Boggs and George Brett.
Who?
Maybe you've heard of them.
Yeah.
Madison Bumgarner got his first win a couple of days ago. He'll be on the hill tonight, 5:05 first pitch right here on the Sports Leader. The velocity hasn't quite been there, but Franny and I have been kicking this around, Bruce. I mean, the guy's still getting ramped up. His body is probably in shock right now. He's never been on the DL. He's not used to kind of getting into game shape in the middle of July and now the end of July. Is it just that simple? But this is uncharted territory for him and for the Giants. The guy's never been on the DL.
Yeah, it's hard to say. I mean, the scouts have noticed a little drop in velocity, but, I mean, this guy, he came back. I wouldn't say too soon, but he came back pretty quickly from shoulder surgery, and he hasn't had any setbacks. But, I wonder if he's really a little bit hesitant to absolutely cut loose like it's game seven in October. He's still
That's
getting it back. And, I don't think there should be any big concern about Bumgarner. Let this season play out. Don't overwork him and see how he looks in the spring. Then we'll probably get a real good idea.
What's that one thing that you're looking for from game to game, though, that every fifth day that he pitches? Is it the fact that he goes out and pitches? Is that what you're looking for, or you want to see something different each time?
Well, no, I'm looking for the same thing each time that we've been used to seeing. Now, right specifically now, it's hard to – I don't think you're looking at quite the same guy. It's a whole different deal coming off shoulder surgery, like I say, pretty quickly. But when he's right – I'm looking for, unhittable sliders breaking low and in to lefty and righty, right-handed hitters that can't touch it. you know, buzzing the high fastball in there, getting a little nasty out there, glowering at guys and not walking anybody, you know, pitching out of trouble. Just what you've accustomed to seeing from him.
Cubs have overtaken the Brewers in the Central. They got the series win today against Milwaukee. Dodgers, obviously, they've won seven in a row, playing at a terrific clip. You got the Nationals at 61-40, leading the East. As far as the makeup of the NL right now, pound for pound, the most dangerous team is?
I'm going to say Washington.
Yes.
You know, the Dodgers are obviously, they're ridiculous. They win every day. They never, you know, they get a lead and they don't blow it. Bellinger, you know, Seager, the whole thing. But, you know, it's funny. You get in the playoffs, if you lose the opener behind Kershaw, all of a sudden it's like, oh, yeah. My God. Say they lost 3-1. I mean, things can change so quickly. I really think Washington's lineup, top to bottom, is more solid. You know, you got Harper and Murphy and Zimmerman and Rendon, and now they got Howie Kendrick. But what a great pickup that is to come off the bench. Trey Turner's coming back. I'd like to see him get another reliever for – aside from Doolittle and Madsen, that would really make them tough. If Strasburg stays healthy, you know, I like them, but between the Cubs, you know, and the Nationals and the Dodgers, I mean, it's really spectacular. The playoffs are going to be great, but I kind of I'm a little too pro Dusty, which I will always be.
No, that's all right, Bruce. I'm all about the Nationals, and I think that what they have is. Our team in 14, when we came here and lost to the Giants, was a great team. We didn't have a Max Scherzer. This team has Max Scherzer, and that's number one. And seems like Adrian Beltre, we're talking about his second half of his career, has gotten better. That's the same thing as Max. Max has gotten better throughout his time. I'll put my season on the line with him.
Heck yeah.
Oh, yeah. Oh, God. I love watching that guy work. I love watching him stalk around behind the mound.
Predatorial.
So into it. He loves to hit. I mean, he's everything you want in a start. He's an absolute ace personified. And, you know, if Strasburg is pitching as like he can in the
I don't trust
season,
him.
Now you got, I don't either. I totally don't trust him. He's very fragile.
Yes.
But, you know, I'm just saying, if for some reason they're graced by a vintage Strasburg throughout October, they'll be scary.
Yeah, the side of his box says fragile on it. In the American League, you got the Yankees. You know, they're buyers today. They pick up Jaime Garcia, them and the Red Sox. Only a half game separates them. Indians are just rolling right now, and we know they've got a potent lineup, but they get that rotation healthy. Royals, 9-1 in their last 10. And then, of course, you know, the Astros have just been the toast of the town. I could watch Jose Altuve hit baseballs all day long. And then you talk about, you know, a guy that it kind of bucks the trend of today's Major League Baseball. Altuve is just a guy that goes up there and just looks to get a hit every time he's on base. Not looking to hit it out of the park. He's got that ability, but, you know, he's just looking to get a hit every time he's out there. That's why I love watching guys like that. But as far as the American League, well, I would say the Astros probably have the best unit right now.
Minus their pitching.
Yeah, that's the thing. And, you know, once you get into the postseason, everything changes and those games get a little tighter. Do you think the Astros are equipped to actually make a run at this, or is this just going to be one of those regular season juggernauts that can't get it done in the playoffs?
Well, they could use a little more pitching help. If they were to get Sonny Gray, I think that'd be a heck of a move. I mean, McCullers has struggled a little bit. They really don't have, you know, a set like four guys that they can really trust. They score so many runs, it's not a big issue, but I think they have enough pitching right now, but if they were to get Sonny Gray, you know, or Darvish or Verlander, I mean, that would be insane. You know, the thing about them, the last I looked, they were the best team in baseball as far as the least amount of strikeouts. They had fewer strikeouts than anybody at the plate.
Well, I think their highest percentage of first pitch swinging and first pitch contact was number one in the league too. So
very aggressive.
I'm all for that. To me, a great
quicker games.
Like hit the first pitch for a triple. That's a great at bat. Not you were up there for a half an hour and you walked on a 3-2 pitch outside. I love aggressive hitting. They epitomize it. I mean, geez, you know, with this Gurriel from Cuba, that guy's a tremendous player. Josh Reddick is like the heart and soul of the team. And you know, Gattis jacking him out.
Think about their leadoff guy. When Springer was healthy at the time, I mean, he's on the DL right now, but I mean, when Springer was healthy, 27 homers in the leadoff spot.
That's Ricky Henderson stuff.
Yet another guy. I mean, just up and down. Carlos Correa. I mean, when he comes back, oh, my God.
See,
that guy's ridiculous.
Bruce, you like that? I mean, you look at the Nationals, you look at the Astros, both their shortstops are going to be, you know, Correa has the thumb. Trey Turner has the broken wrist. I mean, getting those guys late, could that be the boost? You know, they're going to be cruising along. Could that be the boost that they need?
Yeah, if they need one. I mean, you know, they're capable of steamrolling the whole thing, both of those teams. But, yeah, I mean, getting Trey Turner, who's one of the fastest guys to come along in recent years, really, mm-hmm. and he can hit and field, that'd be like making a great trade. You know, that,
absolutely.
And the same, yeah, I mean, that guy is really exciting, and it's amazing how they haven't missed a beat. And Correa, too. So all of a sudden, oh, well, hey, the MVP just showed up. I mean, you know, he's that good.
Oh, yeah.
All right, Bruce. Appreciate it. Bruce Jenkins of the Chronicle joining us. Kevin Franzen and Ryan Covey hanging out for Marty Lurie. Appreciate your time, Bruce. Enjoy the game tonight, and we'll talk to you soon.
Let's do it again.
Thanks, Bruce.
We got to clear with Marty, but yeah, you're right about that. Thanks, Bruce. Have a good day.
All right, cool.
Bruce Jenkins of the Chronicle, definitely a mandatory Twitter follower, the author of the 3-Dot Lounge. Man, Bruce Jenkins.
Bringing it.
I hate to, like, you know, because guys always say you're making me feel old, but I have literally been reading that guy since I was a little kid. So, love me some Bruce Jenkins.